Well, I'm continuing on talking about the creed, which has been kept down through the ages, and it's really the thing that if everybody would pay attention to it, we would see our unity in the body of Christ. But a lot of people, they get real fine points, and then they start arguing over Scripture, and it gets to be a mess. Well, God's going to straighten out that mess, but I believe He, by grace, this is not Scripture. The creed is not Scripture, but it came from the baptism service that they had in the old days. And it's just wonderful that it got all the points of doctrine that we need. But anyway, I believe in so many things, but I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And when we say that, it usually reminds us of being forgiven as it's described in 1 John 1:9. And some of us have probably all memorized this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, we think about the forgiveness of sins when we read that verse, but if you look closely at that verse, this promise of forgiveness of sins in this verse is conditional if we confess. It's conditional. And it starts a process. He will purify us. God's pardon is by grace. His forgiveness of sins, His pardon is by grace. But grace comes as a package deal with conditions and consequences, effects. So this verse, I'm reading it again, Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Because God is a forgiving God, because that's His nature, He's a forgiving God, that's why He sent Jesus. That's why we have the cross. It cost God a great deal. That's why we have the cross. But when we embrace Christ, when we embrace His cross and what was done there for us, we receive a forgiving nature. Because we've embraced Christ, He comes into our hearts. He brings with Him His forgiving nature. So this transformational consequence of being forgiven is in that verse in 1 John 1:9. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. And a lot of times, we don't see this, but the creed, when the creed says the forgiveness of sins, and we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, it's speaking not just about our forgiven life, but it's speaking also about a lifestyle of forgiveness of sins. The same lifestyle that Jesus had. Jesus turns His forgiveness of us into our forgiveness of others. And I really hope that really can sink in today. Because Jesus, He wants us to be mountain movers. The context of this verse about forgiveness, verse 25, if you move back in verse 23, here's what Jesus said. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Jesus fulfilled a prophecy when he came and died on the cross. Jesus fulfilled a prophecy about His removal of our mountain of sins. Our mountain of sins was taken upon Him on the cross. And it comes from Micah chapter 7, verse 19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. I think Jesus was actually thinking of this verse when He said that about about moving mountains. And, you know, some people fear that their mountain is too big. Their personal mountain of sin is too big. I'm too far gone. I have too much sin in my life. The weight of my sins is too great. You know, there are people. And, you know, this week, or this afternoon, actually, we have to go up to camp. And when our camp is a place where there are going to be people there that they may feel that. They may feel I've sinned too much. No, Jesus has an answer for that. If we say that, Jesus has an answer. And here's what his answer is. Have faith in God. And the creed says, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness. That's what Jesus is talking about here. But once we have forgiveness of sins, once we have this personal weight of sin removed from us, there's another mountain. There's another mountain. And that mountain can weigh even more on us, more heavily on us. I hate that person for what they did to me. I'll never forgive them. They don't deserve it. No, they don't deserve it, and neither do we. None of us deserve forgiveness. But you know what? Jesus forgives us. Jesus forgives us. Jesus, it says, I just want to sing it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I love that hymn. I love these old hymns. I wish people were singing them more, but you know, we're going to sing them when we get to heaven too, I think. Jesus moved mountains to get us to be mountain movers. Because it's a heavy burden sometimes to say, I don't know, I don't want to forgive this person, but God wants us to. He forgave us so we could forgive others. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Sharing his love means giving what we received. We freely received. And what was that? Forgiveness. We have to give the forgiveness away to other people. Will others know that he lives because we believe not just on our own forgiveness, but in a lifestyle of forgiving others? Is that what we believe? Is that what when we say the creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sins? That's what we believe in, a lifestyle of forgiveness. Well, Jesus wants to make us into sin releasers. Sin releasers. Prayer connects us to divine resources. That's our touchstone. Prayer is so central to the Christian life because everything we receive, physically, emotionally, every other way, spiritually, it's through prayer. It's through our faith in God and ask and seeking. And the Bible talks so much about prayer. But prayer is hindered if we hold anything against anyone. Why does our hold hinder prayer? This hold that we get on things. Well, first of all, when we stand praying, we can't stand praying for divine resources if we're standing in God's position as the judge over sinners. Yeah, we're taking God's position when we stand in judgment over sinners. And if we want to keep ourselves from usurping God's role as God, then what we have to do is let go and let God. Forgiving others, this releasing is releasing our hold on them. The New Testament word forgive means to send away. It means releasing. It means letting go. We stop. What happens is that we stop holding them accountable to us for their sins. We stop doing that. We stop holding them accountable to us. and we release them to the one who ultimately settles all accounts. We've got to do that. We've got to think about that. If we're holding on to anything, we can't stand praying God because we're actually in the place of God. And let me tell you, if you're in the place of God, you don't have any divine resources to give yourself. So you can't, prayer's not going to help you if you stand praying and you're holding anything against anyone. Forgive them. That's what Jesus is saying here, and that's really a hard thing for us sometimes, but we've got to do it. On the cross, while he was in the act of paying for humanity's forgiveness, in the very act of doing it, he also gave us something. He got personally involved. I guess you'd say is the most personal involvement he could get with his people who were crucifying him. He really directed them personally. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's a profound prayer that is our example. He gave us that example. God wants to release us. But his justice holds him back until we've released others. What does it say in this verse? If you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father may forgive you. You see, he's keeping this law of justice. He's giving a lot of grace, but he's also keeping a law of justice. I can't forgive them if they're holding on to other people's sins, you know, in their lives. And he's not going to violate our free will either. If we insist on gripping really tight in a bitter way with the sins against us that others have committed, then we don't have an open hand to receive blessings from God. Tight-fisted, no open hand, because I'm holding, and rather than letting go and opening your hands. Now you can receive because your hand is open. We've got to look at that. Unforgiveness is unrighteousness that God is trying to purge from our lives. If we have unforgiveness and bitterness in our lives, it's a self-defeating sin because it blocks us from prayer. I want to read this poem, and then I have the poem back there for you to take home if you want to have a copy of it. It's called View from the Cross. I think I've read it at Eschaton before, but maybe years ago. And really, what this poem is pointing to, you cannot do this forgiveness things on your own strength. You have to get the strength from Jesus. You have to be identified with Jesus. And so that's why you have to take a view, not of the cross. You have to, that's how you get there. You have to take a view from the cross with Jesus. If it's true that I am crucified with Jesus, that my life is off the throne, that his reign is real alone, then I see the way to quench the wrongs that tease us, bitternesses we can't forget, or the ones we hold in debt. It's the view we have from Jesus' cross that frees us. Some wounds cut a little, many deeply sever. Am I able to forgive when my memories still live? Grudges linger long from pains that scar forever. Have I sworn an oath inside? Have I promised in my pride that unasked for pardon I would offer never? Crucified with Christ, my injured life is ended. I too hang upon the wood. Death to self is understood. As my soul with his in agony is blended, I can only taste in part what he felt within his heart when on him the wrongs of all the world descended. From the cross, I now can stare into the faces of the ones who hurt me so, standing helplessly below. Then my voice with his own voice the Lord replaces. They do not know what they've done. God forgive them every one. Thus I pardon what his cross's work erases. You may want to have to read that again just to get it, because it's a lot in there. But there are so many New Testament passages that back up everything I'm saying today. Ephesians 4:32, another one of those one-anothering passages. Here's what it says. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Jesus has taught us to pray this, and we just prayed it today. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or our trespasses, because he explains what those debts are in the next passage. And then in Luke chapter 6, another way of expressing, in a shorter way, in Luke 37, forgive as you, and you will be forgiven. That's a little bit like Mark, too. Forgive and you will be forgiven. His goal is to turn our forgiveness, his forgiveness of us, his forgiveness of our sins, his goal is to turn that into the forgiveness of others, our forgiving other people. So this twin trust in forgiveness of sins isn't automatic. It's not automatic. The first kind comes when you first come to Christ. You answer his call. Come unto me. Come unto me, and he's going to forgive us. So that's the first way. And we all need to have, I hope everybody's in here as a Christian. I think you all are. But I'm just saying, that's how we got to get people to come to Christ. They have to come to Christ to get forgiveness of sins. But then, afterwards, the second kind of forgiveness of sins, it comes as our daily response. It's an ongoing daily response to Christ's call, because it's an ongoing call. And that is, follow me. Do what I'm doing. Follow me. And we say, so whenever I say this, whenever we have the creed, and we're reciting the creed, which we do around the communion time, then when we do that, let's rejoice that we are forgiven. Let's celebrate it, that we are personally forgiven. But let us also trust that Jesus will lead us into manifesting this grace of forgiving others. Because that's what he wants us to do as we follow him. Because that's what we're going to be doing, following him in forgiving others. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this one verse, but there's so many other verses that go along with it. And Lord, when we say the creed again, help us to always remember it's two things. It's not just our personal forgiveness, but it's also the forgiveness we receive, what we give to others, that they need to receive from us. We need to let them go into your hands so that you can deal with them. And perhaps, Lord, that is what's holding them back. They need to have forgiveness so that they can see they need a greater forgiveness that comes through the cross of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.